This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and from Vantage Health Plan. Robert Travis Scott, the president of the Public Affairs Research Council for the last decade, is with us. Prior to that, 14 years with the Picayune, he was Capital Bureau Chief, and he also served as the business editor for the New Orleans Times-Picayune, a post that I'm sure serves him well in his current capacity as one of the top authorities on government in Louisiana and business, a watchdog group that is one that is of sterling reputation, the Public Affairs Research Council, and he follows the amendments closer than anybody I know, and we're going to talk with him about those. And sometimes people say, what a yawner, but there's some interesting items on the ballot, and Robert Travis Scott knows more about them than anybody I know. So we have called upon him to provide his erudition. 877-217-5757. If you have a question for this seasoned journalist turned think tank operator, and he is a man who can be reached by email, as can yours truly, talk@talklouisiana.org. Went to the University of South Carolina and Johns Hopkins, and Robert Travis Scott knows the Palmetto State well, and as we're talking, the hearings for Amy Coney Barrett, the pride of New Orleans, are ongoing with the Senate Judiciary Committee, chaired by the South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham, who's in a tight, tight race in South Carolina. And another Scott is a senator there, Tim Scott, right, one of, what, three African Americans in the U.S. Senate. And Lindsey Graham is now fighting for his life against an African American Democrat and could very well lose his seat. What do you think about the politics of South Carolina, which obviously are evolving like the politics in many other parts of the country?
Yeah, well, Jamie Harrison is the Democratic candidate for Senate there. He is, in fact, a highly educated, articulate guy who has put on a big head of steam. And, of course, he's raised a tremendous amount of money, I think close to $60 million for his campaign.
$60 million for a race in South Carolina.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the polls have shown various things, Jim. I mean, on the one hand, they're showing it's close. But if you follow 538, which is the Nate Silver, poll, it shows that Lindsey Graham has an odds-on chance that he would win, even under the current circumstances. And they may be under-polling a lot of the Trump-Lindsey Graham, supporters in that state, as they did, they did 4 years ago in a number of places. Still, I mean, even having said that, a really strong competitor to a leading acolyte he's sometimes been an acolyte, sometimes not.
Well,
Donald
but the
Trump.
Last few years
but,
he's been.
But the fact that, yeah, but the fact
on
that
the Trump
he
train.
Is even considered vulnerable is it says a lot.
And Trump, of course, will win in South Carolina, as he will in Louisiana. But 3 weeks out, it's looking like Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. will be taking the oath of office 99 days from now, 99 days away from Joe Biden becoming the 46th American president. Barring something unforeseen, it's close to being in the bag, Robert Travis Scott.
Again, going back to 538, it looks like he has a tremendous advantage right now.
What is it, like 88% chance of him winning, I think?
Yeah. Now, here's a question I want you to ask the governor next time he's on.
Yes.
So maybe you've already asked him this, but what if Biden gets in and he names the governor to a high post?
We've talked about that.
Yeah, what has he said about that?
He hasn't said he would say no way, so I think he would entertain it. But the question is whether that would happen, and also the Democrats know that if it were to happen, that a Republican would become the governor of Louisiana.
Billy
Dunn,
yes.
They like the fact that they're the only Deep South Democratic governor is John Bel Edwards. So I think a more likely proposition, Robert Travis Scott, would be for John Bel Edwards to run against John Neely Kennedy in 2 years. And it would be a free shot for the governor. He would keep his governorship if he lost, and he would be a formidable candidate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that would be a fascinating race.
And he's not going to own up to that right
no,
now.
No, not right now. But he's an honest guy. He sat right in the same chair you are in 2013. And so when I asked him if he was running for governor, he said yes.
That's right.
And he was off and running, and he won. And he's won twice. And in the Senate race this year, We have William Morgan Cassidy, who's running for re-election, who supported Eddie Rasponi last year and went to three rallies at the side of the president backing Rasponi. And yesterday at the press club, we had three candidates who showed up, all Democrats, and they all said they voted for John Bel Edwards. What about Bill Cassidy? He has to get 50% plus one vote. This is a primary. If he doesn't do that, there's a runoff in December. What do you think the prospects are of that happening?
Well, he has a candidate, Adrian Perkins, out of Shreveport, who is, and he's not quite on the level of Jamie Harrison in South Carolina in terms of his fundraising. And
well, he's raised $1.7 million, he said, yeah. And Jamie Harrison's raised $60
million. I think that's right. I think that's what I read.
Mm-hmm. Well, if Adrian Perkins had invested $60 million on this race, he might very well be in position to be a threat to Bill Cassidy. Certainly there would be a runoff.
Yeah, and but you know how much of the how associated is Cassidy with a lot of the problems in Washington? Mm-hmm. I mean, he may have successfully separated himself from at least a good bit of that.
But it's a personal assault on voters not to debate, and I criticized Bennett Johnston in 1990 when he wouldn't debate David Duke. I thought that was an act of cowardice on his part, and he almost lost the race. If he had debated him, I think he would have done well, because obviously Duke has some baggage.
Well, I like you being a former journalist. I want to see those debates. You want to see people out there, arguing the issues.
And here Cassidy has at least one legitimate opponent, and all three of the people who showed at the press club yesterday are well-spoken, and Peter Winstrup and Antoine Pierce and he refused to debate them, and it's a six-year term. And shame on Bill Cassidy, who lives 5.9 miles away from where the press club event was held. I don't think he had any trouble getting there, but he said he would only debate if all 15 candidates were invited. Yeah, right. But that was his stated reason. But we'll see what happens on November 3rd. And we've got these measures on the ballot. Yesterday on this show, we had General Honoré. And he is steadfastly against Amendment Number 5. And for those unfamiliar with Amendment 5, it says, do you support an amendment to authorize local governments to enter into cooperative endeavor ad valorem tax exemption agreements with new or expanding manufacturing establishments for payments in lieu of taxes? Here's the general saying that this is something that is just a prescription for disaster.
It's a corporate giveaway welfare. Whereas it doesn't have a limit on how long it will go. It's an amendment that changes the Constitution that has no end date to it. So this thing could go 25, 30 years with people negotiating taxes now that affect people 25 years from now. This is a bad deal for the state of Louisiana. And the only reason this bill passed is that when it was presented in the legislature, it's been up three times before the last 3 years. It failed every time. It passed this time because we couldn't go. People prohibited from moving around and going to the legislature and making our point. We couldn't go do that this time. And Senator Allain and Representative Abrams pushed this thing through with not one no vote.
All right. What do you think? Is it more complex than the general made it, or is he onto something?
Well, I respect, as you know, at the Public Affairs Research Council, we put out a guide to the amendments. And we don't tell you whether you should vote for or against it. No matter how stupid they are, Jim, we don't. we take no position on these ridiculous constitutional amendments. But the fact is, we have a lot of constitutional amendments that we pass, we bring to the voters every year, and that's sort of a fault in our stars of how we construct our Constitution. So it makes you, when you look at the ballot and how complicated these things are, you do want to step back from it and say, wow, I mean, why are we asking our citizens to, deal with all this minutia every single time? Constitution has become more like a collection of statutes. But to address the general, he is talking about an incentive program for property taxes for manufacturers is what this is. And this is a pretty commonly used vehicle by a lot of states across the Southeast. Who've been pretty competitive on the manufacturing front compared to Louisiana. It's something where you have a payment that you make in lieu of taxes, but you have to make an agreement with the local government. The manufacturer and the local government entities have to fashion whatever that agreement is.
All right, so it's basically, let's make a deal. Is this done in other states?
Yes, yeah, it's done in most other states.
Lawmakers crafted this to perhaps protect the state from other states being more competitive than we. Is that the stated reason?
Well, you have another issue here, and one is that right now the way it's set up for a manufacturer is you either pay the full freight. We'll come back and we can handle this later. But you either pay the full freight or you get almost a total break.
All right.
And this is looking for something in between.
877-217-5757 is your number. We'll go to the phone lines with Robert Travis Scott of Parr when we return in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757. Robert Travis Scott, head of the Public Affairs Research Council, is with us for a little while longer. And a reminder that after the show today at 10 o'clock, we will go, WRKF will, to the Senate hearing, the Judiciary Committee, on the confirmation prospects of Amy Coney Barrett, Pride of St. Mary's Dominican in the great city of New Orleans, crown jewel of Louisiana. Laverne at Woman's Hospital. Laverne, you're on with Robert. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Mr. Scott. Amendment 5, the circumstances under which Amendment 5 breezed through our legislature is suspect. The language is unintelligible and capricious, and the ability for local entities to go over these individual companies' plans for growth, possibly without any jobs tied to that growth, that seems like a no-deal kind of situation, and I urge all citizens to vote no amendment.
All right. Thank you, Laverne. Robert?
Sure. Well, you know, local governments are already in the situation where they're deciding how they're going to handle it, whether they're going to give full freight for the property tax or whether they're going to give a really huge break with the industrial tax exemption program. So local governments don't get a break from having to make a big decision.
Right now, it's all or nothing.
Well, not exactly. What they have is the industrial tax exemption program. The way it's structured under John Bel Edwards,
you can get 80.
You go 80% exemption. Well, that means you're paying 20% of your assessment.
Gotcha.
Over eight years. But, yeah, unintelligible. There's a lot in our Constitution that's unintelligible, and I would agree with her on that.
Patrick in Innisfail States. Patrick, good morning. You're on with Robert Travis Scott.
Hey, I don't know if you can call that corporate welfare. When you cut taxes, that's not welfare. Welfare is when the government actually gives you money because you're dependent on them. These people, this industry, this is how we build wealth in this state. And then with all the jobs that they create, then you can tax the people that are working and you make your money back there. But to drive this wealth building out of our state is going to be a big mistake.
All right. Patrick is one who's in favor of it. So he sounds a lot like the lawmakers who were supportive of this.
Yeah. And this is obviously become quite a controversial, amendment, and it really deserves a lot of public attention. It is an exception to property taxes that's being placed in the Constitution, and it is also one that gives local governments an option. They do not have to choose
to
do this,
and today,
they can decide whether they want to do it.
Today, by the way, The Advocate, in its editorial page, came out against this, saying Louisiana is a heavy spender in property tax breaks for large companies through industrial tax exemptions. There's no need to add another layer of incentives if those actually are driving business location decisions, which may be doubted. That's from The Advocate. Mary Patricia in Spanish Town, you're on with Robert Travis
Mary
Scott.
Mary Patricia.
Hi, Mary Patricia.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey,
how
Mary.
You doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. I'm hanging in there. Listen, I just wanted you to maybe comment from Parr's perspective on the fact that of the property taxes that are currently being paid by corporate entities, which isn't very much because much of it is exempted, school districts get 38% of that money. The parish government gets 20% of that money. Sheriff And fire make up another 25% of it. Libraries get 6. Our health system and our EMS get 3. Our levies get 3. Our parks and rec get 3. And I'm frankly, you know, personally, I'm tired of paying more for the same things in Louisiana because other taxable entities aren't paying their fair share. And I'm just wondering what will PAR's position be on House Bill 78?
Well, just before you let her go, what is the disclose for us who you are working for, Mary Patricia? I mean, when you're asking this question, just so that our listeners know.
Oh yeah, sure. From. No, I don't think I've hidden it at all.
No, I don't think you have either. That's but you didn't mention it. So.
There's a great group formed called the Louisiana Taxpayer Education Fund in conjunction with Together Louisiana to make sure that voters have all the facts about the $2.5 billion that are now going to be negotiable for these entities.
All right.
Yeah. Well, let me just mention one thing. And a lot of people who have concerns about the industrial tax exemption program, this one too, often refer to corporate entities. This only refers to manufacturers, and in fact, the industrial tax exemption program only refers to manufacturers.
Thank you, Mary Patricia. Alexandra in Mid-City. Alexandra, you're on with Robert Travis Scott.
Yeah, I was wanting to know if you had seen the Why Louisiana Stays Poor video by Together Baton Rouge that explains that Louisiana gives out way more than other states in tax exemptions for a much longer time period. And if you're familiar with that work and that video and how you can explain that this is different from that.
Yeah. You know, I have seen several videos from different sources, and I think I've seen the one that you're referring to. You know, one thing that I would just, you know, ask people to do when they evaluate these things is to look at the overall, you know, tax structure that you've got. You have in Louisiana, a manufacturer, when they invest in manufacturing equipment and machinery, they pay 5% local sales tax in almost every place in the state. There's no other state that has that kind of level of taxation on a capital investment. In fact, most states, you know, they try to get out of the way of capital investments so they can companies can make those. We have an inventory tax. You can't have the ITIP and the inventory tax at the same time. Not that many states have an inventory tax. We have a franchise tax. Everyone else has been getting out of the franchise tax, but we have one on corporations here, a tax as wealth and capital good. You know, and we have the highest corporate income tax rate of anybody in the Southeast. So you have to add all those things in together. And the unfortunate things is you have kind of a balancing act here, because the tax we're talking about with this amendment is a local property tax. And, you know, when you add in the homestead exemption and other exemptions we have, a lot of local governments are very dependent on sales tax in the state. It's a more volatile tax, less predictable. Doesn't do well in bad economic times. Mm-hmm. A stronger property tax base all across the state would be better. Half of the parishes have more than half of their household property tax assessments not on the rolls due to all the various tax exemptions. So I hear a lot of people calling in about number 5. What about number 6?
All right. Well, we will strive to have Robert back, but more than a few listeners ask you to opine about sports wagering, and I see the Advocate in today's editorial page comes out in favor of this, saying sports betting was approved in Mississippi, and while it's not a big revenue booster, there's no reason to have Louisiana gamblers take their business elsewhere. What do you think about sports wagering?
Yeah, you know,
that's a parish by parish proposition.
It's not a constitutional amendment, but everybody's going to vote on it. And basically, what you're voting on is whether or not you would allow this kind of direct sports betting, like betting on a game, for example, in a formal way, either online or at a casino. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of betting they've had in Las Vegas for a long time. And you'll only be deciding whether or not your parish will allow that to happen. And then the state law has to come in later and put on all the regulation and the taxes.
Who gets the money?
Well, it's going to depend on how the legislature does it. There'll almost definitely be a state sales tax on this, but I would expect there to be local taxes too. And at the end of the day, the legislature, they'll probably dedicate some of it to something.
877-217-5757 for Robert Travis Scott. We have a few more minutes with him, and we are 3 weeks away from the finish line. We'll be voting for president, for senator, for Congress, for governor. And Robert, I tell you what, we're going to have you back if you'll be kind enough to come back. And the man who, you have fewer than 5.9 miles to come to get to the studio. Bill Cassie only had 5.9 miles to get to the debate yesterday, but opted not to come from his estate at 3115 Dalrymple, where there's a big Bill Cassidy sign in the front yard appropriately. But Robert Travis Scott came from Park Boulevard, and we'll be calling again soon for the man from Parr.
Jim, my neighbor Jim.
Yeah, I see you on my late night walks. So, Robert Travis Scott,
always
holding court
to be
in
on.
The Garden District.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, and we'll be back with Clarissa Ward after this pause.